This is Jacqueline Davenport from Pino's Palette, and you're listening to Social Geek Radio.
Welcome to Social Geek Radio, brought to you by Minolto Social Media Management. Here are your hosts, Deb Evans and Jack Munson.
Welcome to Social Geek Radio. This is Deb Evans with Deb Evans Consulting, LLC.
And Jack Munson from Minolto, Inc. How you doing today, Deb?
I'm doing great. You know, Jack, I did a little poking around on Social Geek Radio, and just out of curiosity, somebody asked me the other day, Deb, how many episodes have you and Jack done with Social Geek Radio? And, of course, I always relate it to years. So
yeah.
I looked. This is actually episode number 263.
263. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
And we're approaching 6 years, I think, in about 2 months, right?
Amen.
Wow.
Yep. Amen. Pretty cool stuff. We've
one
been doing
days,
this a while.
One of these days we'll get it all figured out. And
we'll get it all figured out. Yes, yes. So and the question was, you know, they just laughed because they like, do you know anything about podcasting? Let me see. Maybe
yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah, only for about 6 years or so. But like I said, one of these days we'll figure it out. There's always room to learn and grow.
Absolutely. Okay, and talk about learning and growing. Let's do a little geek it out.
Geek it out.
So, time. Geek it out time. And have something a little different. There is a new product out there, and for parents and grandparents, we are both fall into that category as a parent, and of course me as a grandparent. I'm always looking for some new tech or apps for the grandkids that's going to, you know, make them a little geekier. Well, there's one called OzOBot. OzOBot. And I like this because it taps into for the grandkids, but I can see this Gigi really liking it, like I do my mini drone. You know, they play with the mini drone, and I have fun with it too. But this blends creative thinking with business disciplines. It focuses on new ways to combine social interaction with digital apps. So what this is, it's a 1-inch size robot that is line sensing, meaning that it takes different ways for kids or adults to play and learn by using color language and coding. So I won't get too technical, but what you do basically is you take either a sheet of paper, or you can use a tablet, but let's start with a sheet of paper, let's go old school, and you take these color markers and you draw lines. And the marker uses the colors of the lines for coding the OzOBot, and he follows this maze that a child or an adult can draw, and you'll say, you know, like for if we're talking about the St. Patty's Day, maybe at the end of the maze is a pot of gold, and you see, you know, which one of these little robots gets to the end of the maze. It has an app as well, which was, I like that too. So if you have a tablet and you program these lines, the OzOBot will follow the lines, but there's also pre-programmed songs, so like a cha-cha, that you have to figure out how to code and make these lines so that the little robot will dance that looks like a cha-cha. Very simple,
wow.
Sounds complicated, but it's really simple coding and programming, and it fits very well, and you know my background of education, fits very well with that STEM education so
yeah.
That it finds an interactive in it. Way for programming, you know, science and your math and your technology. So I say we should be looking at that. Of course, I've already pre-ordered one for as a gift.
Nice. Nice. I think you just
share.
Pulled me on one too, because I know a certain 9-year-old at my house who just like a dancing robot. So.
Oh, yeah. And so our topic, which, you know, let's think about what we're going to be talking about here on Social Geek Radio. And let's say we're going to take our family to a pizza place. And it's like, how do you keep these kids interactive, you know, going and keep them busy until the pizza comes? Well, you pull out your little OzOBot and let them draw and, you know, do some dancing robots on the table. So there you go. There's your geeking out.
Excellent. OzOBot. I will check it out.
OzOBot.
Thanks for that.
Yes, sir.
Good tip. So, perfect. So, as Deb mentioned, tonight we're talking pizza. So we want to bring in as our special guest, Bridget Vetter, manager of my three favorite things, marketing, social media, and public relations from Topper's Pizza. How you doing, Bridget?
I'm good. Thank you for having me tonight.
Excellent. Yeah, so we're all going to get real hungry in about 15 minutes here, I think. So everybody get your phones and tablets out and get ready to order a pizza for later tonight after this discussion on digital pizza. So let's talk about that a bit, Bridget. How much pizza industry-wise right now, industry-wide, is being ordered via e-commerce and smartphones and tablets and computers versus the old-fashioned way?
Well, at Tappers, we have 43% of our orders coming in via our mobile website at tappers.com, and that is a 27% increase over last year, which is just huge for us.
Yeah. And obviously, you know, with the 27% jump from the past year, and who knows, that was probably even a bigger jump from the previous year. The trend is obviously going to continue, and to the point where someday will anyone even order a pizza over the phone anymore, or is it just such a click function that, you know, why even bother having a phone anymore? That's my opinion.
Right. I recently read an article that digital and online ordering is growing at a 300% faster rate than dine-in ordering.
Wow. And and is that it's also got to be a just part of our current life where, I mean, imagine 20 years ago, people went out for pizza and sat at the checkered tablecloths and waited 45 minutes for a pizza to show up. And, you know, now it's much more of a delivery and take home process, right?
Correct. Yes. Tappers likes to cater to like the millennial crowd. And we like kind of did a study on some of our customers, and we've realized that they, on average, they check their phone 43 times a day, which is crazy.
It's crazy, but I know some people who are above average then, including Deb.
Right.
I think that was coming.
So with that level of activity with your typical clientele, and I'm assuming you've got a lot of locations in college towns and cool places like you know, like where the University of Wisconsin is, and of course,
yeah,
I have
Nebraska,
to mention
Nebraska, North Carolina. We're about half and half college towns and suburban towns. We kind of have, as we're a growing company, branched out, so like kids that graduate from college and eventually move to the suburbs, we are also expanding there, so we still keep them as our fanatics.
Nice. And they're all, you know, with the jump in ordering that they're doing on their phones, what's their expectation? Are they, I can't imagine that they would ever go back to a different way of doing it. And even more so, what are they expecting next to be able to do on a phone or on a tablet with Toppers?
I think for sure it's just ordering online. We find that our customers that do order online, we have a higher ticket average with them because they can either spend time browsing their toppings and customizing their pizzas, or also we have a very intuitive website where they can just one click, two clicks, their pizza orders can be delivered in 15 minutes or less.
Got it. Now, are people doing this on, is it a mobile version of a website? Is it an app for the phone? Is it Facebook and Twitter? What areas are you guys taking orders from?
We have a responsive website, so it works on a phone, a tablet, and on a desktop. So 43% of that is happening right there. We also we do track social as it drives online orders, and currently we did a study last year from January to September, and social was the highest conversion rate for online orders at 24.84%.
And that's mostly coming from Facebook or from other places as well?
From 61% of it was from Facebook, and 3% of that was from Twitter.
Got
so
it.
It's kind of exciting. Yes, it's very exciting.
And so tell me about your structure and how you handle all of this for all of these toppers, franchisees, and locations and everything. Is this all sort of centrally managed from Whitewater, from headquarters, or do the franchisees have a lot to do with the actual, you know, being involved in the e-commerce and the social aspect?
Everything is managed from the headquarters in Whitewater with our agency partners. This kind of ensures that we're delivering like the same brand message and high quality message, and especially when it comes down to response rates to customers, we're always on 24/7 responding, making sure that we're helping customers with any questions, comments, complaints. Basically, social media is like 21st century customer service, and it's always on.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the place to, you know, but I think where you're seeing a lot of movement is it's gone from the place where people are just complaining about something to it's the place where people are ordering something and actually spending some money. So, so you're doing most of this from the corporate level. Do the franchisees get involved at all, or are they just sort of there ready to take care of the customer?
It's a little bit of both. They're ready to take care of the customers. They know what we're pushing out on social media, so they can expect things like we use social media to push out new products. For example, we just launched the three cheese garlic sticks for, as part of our triple sticks line, and we only launched it online. So it was really exciting to see it, how it kind of took over that topper sticks category, just being online only, not many printed menus, and it's already raised to number two in the category. And that was just from word of mouth and social media posts and being on our website.
So it's number two. The number two product is not printed anywhere. It's only online and of course, word of mouth.
Yes, in our topper sticks category.
Wow, nice.
And yeah, they're delicious, too.
Yeah, I was just going to say, three cheese garlic sticks, sign me up. Yeah. Where do I hit like for that, right? So all of these innovations seem to be, I don't know, I guess built around necessity. You know, it's like mother necessity, because people need pizza, right? It's sort of our God-given right to have pizza. So right. all of these innovations seem to be happening in the pizza industry. I mean, there are a lot of other types of businesses and types of franchise systems that are doing some cool stuff, but the online ordering and you know, doing things on the website and building your own pizza that you guys are doing, and I'm assuming lots of other brands are involved there too. It seems like pizza is sort of leading, in, at least in the franchise category, when it comes to digital and e-commerce with this kind of stuff. What do you see that you guys have done, or maybe some of the other pizza companies have done, that might